Like the last two weekends, our gospel reading today is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we listened as we heard Jesus give example after example, explaining that we must go beyond the letter of the law and obey the spirit of the law. I think we could probably all agree that our Savior sets the bar pretty high. But today, Jesus really pushes the envelope. In our reading today, Jesus begins by reminding us of the law laid down in Genesis. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, it sounds like this is a call for revenge, but nothing could be further from the truth. No, the idea behind this law was to limit vengeance. This law does not say we should seek vengeance. It says that what it says is that vengeance must not be disproportionate. Excessive revenge seems a natural tendency of humanity. But what the law demanded was this: if someone knocked your tooth out, you were permitted to knock out one and no more of his teeth. But even with this limited revenge, as Mohandas Gandhi, the great Mahatma, once observed, the world would eventually be filled with blind and toothless people. And we seem to be a people who want retribution for every injury inflicted on us, real or imagined. We are quick to sue. We trade insult for insult and injury for injury. We can nurse hatred and harbor grudges for years towards those who we believe have harmed us. But now Jesus teaches us that we must offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. Quoting from Leviticus, as we heard in our first reading, he reminds us that we must love our neighbor, and that is not all that hard to do and accept. But then he goes further. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. He even tells us we must pray for those who persecute us. Now Jesus' teaching just stops making sense. No resistance to one who is evil? That's foolish. Turn the other cheek? Really? If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. In our litigious society, these teachings seem insane. If we followed them, someone could just ask you for things until they had everything we own, and we would be left naked, homeless, and starving. There would be no limit on how much we let people take advantage of us. Any group of people who tried to follow these teachings would soon die out. When we hear this price of Christian discipleship, many probably say, at least inwardly, Lord, you're going too far, you're asking too much. To live like that would make us fools. Every ounce of human logic and wisdom we possess tells us these teachings are illogical and completely impossible. And therein lies the problem: human logic and wisdom. In other words, the wisdom of the world. Living as we are in a world where we constantly are bombarded by television and movies, where the values Jesus teaches are never demonstrated, and the idea of revenge and getting even are presented as both normal and admirable, it is no wonder we are conditioned to find notions Jesus teaches foolish and unworkable. Even among Christians, few have been ready to live according to this spiritual ethic. A quick look at any morning newscast will soon confirm that this is a teaching of Jesus that is widely ignored. But St. Paul urges us in our second reading to become fools so that we may become wise. Wise not in the wisdom of the world, but in the wisdom of God. Paul goes on to affirm, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. Even as far back as Leviticus, the Lord told us, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Jesus tells us, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. It seems crystal clear that the Christian's mission is nothing less than to attain perfection. But how are we to do this when our human wills are so very weak and our world bombards us with such contrary values? On our own, this is impossible, but we are not on our own. To fulfill what Jesus asks us requires grace, and that grace is ours if we will but ask for it. If we will but sincerely pray for it. After all, Jesus has not asked us anything that he was unwilling to do. As we will recall when we relive his passion and death in just a few short weeks. This perfection Jesus demands is a lifelong journey. Lent begins Wednesday. Might I suggest this Lent might be a wonderful time to begin? May I also suggest a good first step might be to pray for those who have offended you and for those you have offended. I think you will discover that it is very hard to hate someone you are praying for.